The natural world is a treasure trove of tools to heal and regenerate the body and spirit. If we know where and how to look in nature, we find allies and medicines to restore every imbalance. By collaborating with nature, we find gateways to depths of our human experience that the mind, with its logical limits, simply cannot comprehend. Why is it that when we are surrounded by elements of the natural world, our entire system has the capacity to calibrate to a state of deep surrender, gratitude, and peace, a frequency that is impossible to replicate with artificial means? William Shakespeare said, "The earth has music for those who listen." The American naturalist John Burroughs said, "I go to nature to be soothed and healed, and to have my senses put together." In Surat An-Nahl, the chapter of the bee from the Holy Quran, it says, "Eat of all the fruits and walk in the ways of your Lord submissively. There comes forth from within a beverage of many colors in which there is healing for men. Most surely there is a sign in this life of bees for people who reflect." Right now, I'm remembering the scene from Alice in Wonderland where she's daydreaming on a bed of white flowers staring up at the sky. And I think of myself as a child. All I wanted to do was to be outside climbing trees, laying in the grass, playing in the mud, looking for insects. It was a different time. I mean, I didn't have a tablet or a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18, but I always wanted to be outdoors, no matter the time of day. And I remember this about my cousins as well. And this is where we would commune and offload energy and come inside afterwards and feel so good, feel so regenerated, even though we had been expending so much physical energy. And I think just about every child has this natural inclination to be outside in the mud, climbing trees and exploring, if they have never been introduced to screens, of course. Today, in my conversation with Katie Hess, alchemist and founder of Lotus Way, we talk about flowers and how their essences do the very powerful yet subtle work of cleansing emotional and energetic stuckness in order to embrace and even prevent physical challenges and roadblocks, while also amplifying and harmonizing the system. She's going to share some beautiful examples of transformation and individuals who decided to step out of victim consciousness, victimhood, and into inspired action to change their lives. We explore how every single human being has the capacity to expand into a more coherent, pleasure-filled being just by working with nature and what it's provided. The flower, its roots, its fibers, petals, pollen, and essence. Hi, Katie.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
So we met about 4 years ago, and I was like in my birth world, you know, talking about birth stuff, which I always tend to do wherever I go. Somehow it always comes up for some reason. Might be because we were all born at some point and it's relevant for everyone. And you like got it. You like totally understood. And I became so intrigued. You know, I had never met you. I'd heard a little bit about you and I'd heard a little bit about Lotus Way and the work that you do, but you really understood the interconnectedness of this human experience, right? Because of the work that you do, you see how plants, flowers, organisms are networking all the time with us and with each other. And so you could understand that birth trauma, conception, fertility, all of it is not like, they're not isolated events, right? They're all connected in this thread. And you could, what I perceived was that you could see that time is not chronological in the way that we want to organize it in the mind either. And so it's like, oh, this woman really gets it, you know? And I started working with Lotus Way and different combinations and formulas, and had a pretty like epic experience, the sacred awareness that you formulated. And I think I texted you and it was like, I feel psychic. And I started using it before my one-on-one sessions with my clients in birth trauma processing sessions that I do. And I felt that I was able to network, I would say, and connect with the unseen of their experience. Because sometimes when women go through a traumatic birth or violation of any kind, they don't necessarily, right? The body and the spirit can't really put words to it.
And so sometimes I'm trying to explain it. It's just one dimension of their whole experience. And so when I would have a little bit of the sacred awareness before the sessions, I felt that it was made me more capable of receiving what they were trying to express and perhaps couldn't put words to. So I said, wow, this is a really powerful formula that Katie has made. So I just wanted to share my arc. That's very like the synopsis of my arc with you and your work, and you know, we've become friends since, and every time I see you, it's always such a pleasure. So wanted to bring you on here to talk about how you basically discovered this gift that you have for understanding and translating the world of the healing world and powers of our natural resources and flowers specifically.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time coming. It's been 20 some years in the making. I met a teacher who was an expert in flower essences in the late 90s. And it was actually in Mexico. He was an expert. It's so funny how life works, right? Like, he was this incredible expert of flower essences in Madrid. And I had just lived in Madrid for a year in my junior year of college. Didn't meet him there. I had to like go all the way down to Querétaro, Mexico, and then to Mexico City eventually to meet him. And because he only taught in Madrid, in Mexico City, and in Buenos Aires in Argentina. And he only taught in Spanish. So it was lucky that I was fluent in Spanish, because otherwise I would have never, you know, learned. And he was so amazing, because he wasn't just teaching about the flowers. He was teaching about, you know, how energy works and the ripple effect and the tipping point and how each one of us, based on our own personal growth path, could impact the world. And that, you know, for a very, very small percentage of us, we're using flower essences actively as a means to speed up our own awakening, that it could really radically change the future of this planet. And that was what really got me, because I was in this age where I was like doing this kind of spiritual quest, like really deeply searching and looking. And I felt like I had some kind of spiritual family and I needed to meet them, and there was something I was supposed to do. And where was I going to find it? And that really like, it really resonated with me. And then, you know, then I came back to the States and it was 2001 and I was like, yeah, I'm going to like bring this to the USA. And it was just sort of this like, meow, because, you know, I mean, at that time, yoga wasn't even cool. We're just in such a different place now than we were then. So it's been a lot of learning for me. First 10 years, I saw people doing one-on-one consultations. Didn't even think I'd have a product line, like never even crossed my mind really, until I just started seeing so many people come into my office with radical transformations. And I thought, everybody's got to have this. Like, I can't just go one by one by one. Like, we've got to spread faster. And then it was just a matter of like, you know, self-teaching how to run a business and how to hire and fire and do accounting and make products and production and ship things and how to get the word out and really just how to hustle and make it work. And I feel so lucky that the world is in such a different place now than in the early 2000s, that people are really super open to modalities that are natural, that don't have side effects, that, you know, not only can make us like feel better, but also like our true message has always been that there's so much to each of us as a human being. And if we could unpeel the layers and get to see the true nature of each of us, it could really liberate massive human potential.
It's interesting you say that. We're at a different time now, because I remember it was like doing Bikram back in, you know, I was going to a Bikram studio like back in 2003. And, you know, I felt like I didn't know anybody else who was up to, and I didn't even have a cell phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't even like on the internet. I think I was using it for like my research papers in high school or whatever, but I didn't have like a computer. And so my world was so different. Everyone's world was so different, you know? And now with social media, it's like for better or worse, right? That networking, we have the power to network in this really profound and deeply transformative way, but also like the amount of profundity and intensity is mirrored by a lot of like heaviness and potential darkness, right? That can happen. It's like this, you know, they're equally weighted on both sides. And so there's a level of discernment too. That has to happen, you know? And so when you say like people are so much more open now to healing without side effects, it's interesting because, you know, in my world of aiming to provide tools for self-sovereignty, right? And stepping out of the victim and into the inspired action role that we can all play in our lives, like that role that we can really master. Sometimes people get pretty challenged or triggered by the thought of taking that healing into their own hands, you know, and there's a little bit of that kind of parentification that goes on saying, well, you know, I have to talk to my doctor, or it's not possible, or I've been given this diagnosis and there's no way around it, or there's no way, you know, I've seen a dozen practitioners and they all say the same thing. And this is just the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. And there's almost that resistance. So I know through talking with you that you've worked with countless people who have gotten this kind of diagnosis, right, where they can't change, or they've been told they have to be on this certain, you know, pill or this certain regimen for the rest of their lives. And their quality of life is, I would say, constricted in many ways, but they just, you know, say this is it. And I know that you've inspired a lot of people to step outside of that realm and try something new, and you've seen results. You know, even with one of your formulas, I noticed that immediately, like, different symptoms that I was having with an irregular cycle were now gone. Like, I wasn't, you know, having these like premenstrual sensations anymore that were so challenging to deal with before. And I just noticed this instant shift, I'd say within like 48 hours. And so I know I've recommended it to many of my clients at this point, and they've said the same thing, you know. And I know that these essences, they affect every woman differently, right, depending on what they need at that time. But what are some examples of women and men who have been told, like, it's going to be this way for the rest of your life, and, you know, just cope and deal with it? And then you've worked with them, and they've seen opportunities to step outside of that and take healing into their own hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a lifestyle. And at the level flower essences come in, you could actually use it as like a prevention for everything. Like, I think by the time something manifests in the physical body, you really need a physical remedy to like help unravel it. You know, like if somebody comes to me and they say, I have cancer, I would never say like, oh, just take a self-heal flower essence and you'll be good to go. Like, no problem, right? Because it's like, it's gone through all those layers of their etheric body and emotional bodies and mental bodies. And now it's like coming up as a beautiful red flag in the body to say like, now you really have to deal with me. And at that point, it's really good to bring in something like herbs. Because if you look at plant medicine, the way I see it is the parts of the herbs that are used for the remedy kind of mirror the body. So like, let's say there's something really physical we want to work on. We want the whole roots and leaves and stems and flowers and like dig it out of the dirt, right? And we want to make a maceration in alcohol or make a tincture or a tea. And then if you go to like a little more subtle level, if you're looking at the essential oil or this like the scent, the aromatherapy component, for a plant, that's usually like the immune system or like a protective system against bugs. And it's also really good. It's like the blood of a plant, like circulation. So when we introduce essential oils, which we also use into our ecosystem, it boosts our circulation and it boosts our immune system too. Then when you look at flower essences, you're really dealing with like the consciousness of a plant, like the mind of a plant. So of course, we see tremendous physical benefits with flower essences. I've been pretty well trained in the last couple of decades working in the US to sort of almost try to remove the physical from my language, because we want to like stick to emotional, right? Like, we don't want to promise that there'll be some kind of physical benefits, but I can tell you there are. But we tend to think of it as like emotional. So emotional, mental, spiritual, etheric bodies. And the part of you that is out here that's unseen, right? So in the world of vibrational medicine, if you and I were like doing a presentation together and we like projected an image on the wall, we would say that the projector is all of this body here in the space that we can't see. And the screen and the image that's appearing on the screen is this like flesh body, right? So what we're really interested is going all the way back to the projector and seeing what's being projected. Where are the patterns? Where are things a little bit off? Where are we projecting things from a place of imbalance or just simply not seeing reality? I think in the last couple of years, I've just come to this realization that really none of us sees reality as it is,
like not one of us, like we're right. We're all like a thing happens and you can have 10 different interpretations of it based on who's in the room. But that being said, so in a sense, like if you're actively regularly taking flower essences, there's probably countless physical ailments that you're preventing in your future. Like just in that moment, you're like uprooting them and bye bye. Like you didn't even get it. You didn't even get the diagnosis, right?
Simply because the emotional level is being sorted, let's say, to put it simply, that there is an unlocking and unbraiding of these emotional disturbances that do eventually lead to physical ailments, right? Because it always begins in the psycho-spiritual, you know, which I know many people have a hard time getting behind that, but it begins there. And so when that's maintained, you know, there's maintenance there, then it never gets to that physical level.
It's like something as simple as, like, I can use a personal example. For many years, I had a habit of like throwing my back out. And so I would lift something heavy, a suitcase or something, and then I couldn't walk for like a week. I had to get to the root of that issue, which was that in some way I didn't feel supported. And you could say, well, you were lifting heavy suitcase. Well, yeah, but a lot of people lift heavy suitcases and they don't throw their back out for a week and can't move, right? So why is that weakness there in the first place, or the propensity for something? So what we're doing with flower essences is removing the propensity, removing the weakness, removing the projection so that the physical body can remain strong. That being said, what we're seeing right now is, I mean, it's beyond what I could have imagined 20 some years ago when I first started out. I mean, it's like, there was one month where we had three separate practitioners from different continents in the world telling us that their nonverbal child patients began to speak after using a remedy that we have called Truth Teller for a month. And it's like, you know, I mean, I could just cry like thinking about the mom who brings in her child and is like, he or she spoke, you know, like is speaking now. You know, or people that we've talked to who have dementia or cognitive issues, and they work with one you mentioned, sacred awareness. And it's like all the electrical connections suddenly coming back together and a sentence can form easily, you know? So we're going into this new threshold of like kind of things that blow my mind that I wouldn't have even imagined, you know? But like it makes things like sleep pretty easy, you know, just getting a better night's sleep, feeling more love, laughing more, getting more shit done, feeling clear, relaxing your body, like all the kind of things that we just kind of feel like we need for survival, and feeling stable, easy. Like that's like just work with flower essences for a couple of weeks and you'll be totally stabilized. After you feel really strong and stable, then you can start like digging in the closets and looking for old trauma and finding old things. And there's plenty of it, right? But pretty much any kind of neurotic thing that you could think of that a human would have or experience or feel in one lifetime, there's a flower for that.
My mother's a homeopath, and she trained with Rajan Sakharan in India. And he teaches the sensation method. And often what he recommends is that in order to treat the infant or the child, you treat the mother first. Do you often find that when the mother starts doing this work, because children are an energetic extension of their mothers, do you find that the child experiences shifts as well? Have you seen that?
100%. And I mean, I think that's what I, you know, when my teacher originally in the late 90s was saying, if we can get a small percentage on the planet to take these remedies, it will change the future of the planet. And I was like, yeah, that sounds really cool. But it wasn't until I was, you know, seeing clients and I realized like, oh, when the woman of the household is actively taking flower remedies, maybe the kids aren't, maybe they're too little, maybe dad thinks it's too woo-woo, right? In the early 2000s, this is happening a lot. The whole freaking family transforms, every one of them. And like, that's so liberating because, well, you only need one person in each family, right? And then I remember one of the clients who stayed with me really long time, for at least 10 years, coming to see me regularly. We actually featured her in the book because she's so special. After a few years, she came in and she was like, I know you're going to think I sound crazy, but I feel like
you're my like, try me.
I know. Try me. She said, I feel like my extended family is changing. She said, like, my brother went sober and you know, nobody gets along with my stepmom, but then we all went on a cruise together and it was great. Everyone got along. And like, I just feel like my whole family, you know, she's like, I only see them like once or twice a year. And, you know, we see that in indigenous sayings of like, if you master something, you've like simultaneously mastered that going this direction and that direction. Like, so back in your family lineage and forwards in your family lineage. So 100%. I mean, I think we even see it with our pets, you know, like some people ask me like, what should I give my pet? And it's like, if we're really, really, really close to an animal, they almost start adopting our issues, whether it's emotional and or physical. Like I had a dog.
100%.
I had a dog for 15. She lived to be 17 years old and she was anemic. I didn't figure out till later how anemic I was. You know, I was like, oh man, like, was she taking that on for me or like trying to mirror back to me something? You know, I went through kind of like a heartbreaking situation a couple of years ago. I have a dog now who had heart issues. She's doing great. But it's like, oh my gosh, we're so much more connected than we could even begin to fathom, and especially a mother and a child. And that being said, you know, if you really have a desire to like make somebody feel better and they're not open to flower essences, just take them yourself and make the intention that they will get the benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I started taking them 4 years ago, I started seeing sea changes in my daughter, in my perspective of so many situations and relationships. So of course, like as I changed, everything else around me did, whether it was the field that we were all sharing suddenly changing because of my field changing, right? Or because I just saw them differently, or both, you know, it's both, right? And so, yeah, I see this very often, of course, in the birth world, you know, when there's certain things that come up with the babies. And so I just, rather than looking at the baby, I just start asking the mother a lot of questions. And so much is there. So yeah, when the woman of the house starts doing that work, makes so much sense that everybody else would experience shifts and an impact. When you talk about these levels, right? So the etheric, the emotional, if we were to imagine a visual of how the flower works, I know you kind of laid that out a little bit as far as the parts of the flower, but if we were to imagine the layers of the being or the human being, how are these things, you know, because there's some of your essences that I've taken and I feel them hit me in different ways. Some of them tend to move into a more profound level more quickly, and some of them I feel are gentle in the peeling back. So, you know, what is the language that I can put to this of how these different flowers will reach certain levels and why?
Yeah, I think it's sometimes helpful to use something that we're already familiar with, which is like a cell phone, right? Like, how is it possible that a little box that's like made of a lot of plastic and metal and hardware can hold and transfer all the most important parts of our life? You know, secret texts, poetry, music, videos, photos of our kids, our love, like phone calls, every single thing, right? Pretty much everything that matters most to us, it's in that little box. And the box doesn't just sit there. It's like constantly transmitting information. Like, we don't even know who has our information, right? It's always being transmitted. And the same thing happens in nature. We walk in the trees and those trees are emitting energy that's unseen, just in the same way that your cell phone can send a video to somebody in another country. How does it work? How does it travel through space? How do all those little like bites of information? I have no idea. I still don't get it, you know? But it's okay. We use it. We know it works. And then also we can transfer that information and experience to nature. We know that when we walk in the woods or out in the desert or anywhere wild, we feel different. And it's not just the oxygen. So the trees are like, and the flowers, they're like literally, we're exchanging information. I love the word you use, networking. You know, we're networking with the plants. We're exchanging information. We're upgrading our systems. We're downloading information. And each botanical has a really unique sort of take or flavor. If you could think of like, you know, the earth is like the big massive living entity of 4.5 billion years old. It's just this incredible source of wisdom. And then each flower is like a separate little antenna with like a different message, you know? It's like you're texting somebody else. And then when the information is transferred, the part that I think is the coolest, like I'm kind of the most excited about it right now, is we're not like a wall, right? We're not like a table. Like we're so sentient and sensitive and capturing things on levels that we don't even realize in the moment. And what they never tell us in science class is that there's a giant crystal in the middle of our head, right? It's the pineal gland that can magnify things. And that there are nanocrystals in our blood and in the lymph and in all the fluids of our body. So essentially what happens is energy comes into our system, and not only do we perceive it and read it and understand it and make sense and experience someone's energy or a tree's energy, for example, but we can also magnify it. We're basically one giant walking crystal, right? And so when you say, oh, I take this flower essence and I feel this way, or I take this one and I feel that way, our body has the capacity to move it through the meridian system, the nadis, the chakras, all the different acupuncture points around the system. And if you really, really need something, it can like blast it wide open and magnify it to be stronger. Or if you really need this specific energy to unstuck your liver, for example, your body will know how to do that.
So there's a language that the flowers and all the composition of our body, they're communicating already, and our mind doesn't really need to know and try to like make sense of it.
In fact, I think if we did know, it would just get in the way.
So it's just an ancient language we need to stop trying to understand and just let it happen. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I was watching this, David Attenborough, you know, my daughter, and how sound is, you like, there's this new special on sound, or maybe it's new. I don't know. I thought it was new because I'd never heard of it, but maybe it's old. And there is this buff-tailed bumblebee that its wings vibrate, I think, at like 371 beats per second. That's the sound that we hear. And it's in like deep competition with these other species also trying to get pollen from these flowers that are more accessible, right? It's like these flowers that poppies that are like open. And so they can, you know, just land easily, take the pollen. So in order to not deal with the competition, the specific bumblebee goes to this one flower that has this really long tunnel. And the only way to get, it doesn't have a proboscis or anything to get to the bottom of that tunnel. So what it does is, it stops flapping its wings, but uses the vibrational energy to move its head really quickly so that it shakes the tunnel and all the pollen starts sliding down to it. And then all the pollen falls onto its sticky pads, and it, you know, they're so cute. Bumblebees are so cute. I wish I could just hug them, but they go, it gets all these, there's their sticky pads covered with pollen, and goes back underground and starts feeding all the larvae. And so, you know, these are not things that we really perceive with the eye. And if we were listening, right, we might notice, but there's this whole world of sound. So when you were talking about like, you know, going to the forest or going to these different locations and feeling different in our body and just ascribing it to like more oxygen or however our human brain wants to, like, whoever we want to give credit to, right? But it's like, really, it's the vibration of sound. It's the unseen. It's all of this networking that we really cannot quantify with our limited capacity at this point in time. And I think we can build the capacity, but there's so much happening. And so, you know, I wonder for someone who's, you know, listening to this, or, you know, it's like it's piquing their interest, like, how can I go out and commune? Like, how can I start to tap into that unseen? What would you say? Like, what's a way to step into it? Because I know we all have that capacity. I know we all have that power, but we're so layered with so much that we've forgotten. So is there something that you would recommend to do to be able to start building that communication to the unseen with the plant world?
Yeah. I mean, one thing to just like as a comfort is like, it's always happening. It's happening without you even knowing it. So like, you're already really good at it. And then I would just like go out and under a tree, or like go out in your backyard, or go sit next to a flower, or even maybe you live in a city and you don't have access to wild places or parks. You can go into a flower shop and just see what flowers you're most drawn to, because you will always be drawn to the flowers that will help you or benefit you most in the moment. And just like, you could start with that of just like, and it isn't like a like or dislike, you know, it isn't like that's pretty, that's not pretty, right? It's just it's so much more open than that. It's just kind of like, what do I feel like moving towards? Or like, if you're in the forest, what tree do I feel like sitting under? Or what leaf shape looks interesting? You know, you cannot avoid it. You literally will always move towards the thing that will heal you most in the moment. It's just the way we are.
Interesting. We're going to always move towards the thing that's going to heal us most. And sometimes, let's apply this to all areas of life. Sometimes it's the thing that surprises us, right? It's not the easy thing. it's not the most obviously pleasurable or beautiful thing. It sometimes is the thing that causes us to butt up against some discomfort. And I've noticed that where I was looking at the chart once, your flower chart, and it had the fern. And I remember looking at it and thinking, that was the one. And then I was like, my mind was like, that's not the one. It's not as like ethereal or beautiful as like this other one, you know? And I was like, no, but that's the one that called me first. What, you know, it's just a simple green fern, you know, and you see ferns everywhere, right? Like, what's so special about that? And so it's just funny in these small ways, the ego wants to be like, no, like, I should want this other thing, you know? But yeah, that's really good advice to just tap into that inner no or that inner yes when you go outside and say, what am I drawn to? It might be something that we would typically consider to be a weed, right? Growing in the ground.
Oh, weeds are like some of the most powerful flowers there are, and also needed because Mother Nature will always provide for us what we need in abundance. So you see, I mean, dandelion is a classic example. I mean, from like head to toe, the dandelion plant is so good for us physically. It's one of the only tastes that we don't have abundantly in the American diet, which is bitter. And it cleans the blood and the lymphatics and the liver. I mean, it's just so, and it's gentle. It's like the best liver cleanse there could, you could ever wish for, right? And it's just, it's right there in the yard, and everybody's trying to like get rid of the dandelions.
What is up with that?
Right. And then
that's another question I have about like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I never understood that. I always even thought, even from just like an aesthetic perspective, it would be, it's beautiful to have dandelions in your yard. There's like pops of yellow, and then you get to blow the wishes. Like, what is better than that? I love it. But everybody's got their preference. However, the Mother Nature will keep providing what we need. So it's like, first of all, we need it physically. And then the flower essence component is to release neck and shoulder tension. And now that we're all on computers, we like need it even more, you know? Or like in springtime, if you drive on the freeway or you're living in a city and you see where massive amounts of people are passing, you'll notice that flowers will grow on the freeway where there tends to like stack up traffic, where people are starting to get stressed in traffic. You'll see more prolific growth of flowers because we need it, you know?
Yeah, they're serving us all the time. And like, here we are spraying Roundup. Yeah, I mean, living in South Florida, I started an urban garden. I bought, you know, back in 2016, I had this little house and it was in the right smack in the middle of Miami, and no one had anything growing anywhere, but there were all these wild chickens. And I was like, I'm going to do 70% native, 30% edible, and we'll see what happens. And I just like, it was the tiniest lot, and I just stacked everything just so that everything had enough room to grow, was getting the right amount of light. And I would just get home, like I'd walk into my property and I felt like I was in some oasis. Like I would completely forget where I was, and I could still hear, you know, the city streets, the gunshots, all the things, but somehow I was enclosed in this energetic field that I can't quite quantify. And, you know, started seeing a lot of dragonflies, a lot of butterflies, a lot of larvae. The chickens in the neighborhood, you know, all these wild chickens started coming, spending time. All these cats started appearing, birds of prey from the Everglades that you don't really see in the middle of Little Haiti were appearing in my trees, because I had this one very mature sea grape tree. And there was a pine nearby, a Dade County pine. And so it's like, wow, all I had to do was supply some information for these animals to come. And, you know, my neighbors, they had grass everywhere. They had a bunch of invasive, you know, succulents, kind of like Home Depot plants that bring a lot of mosquitoes. They don't bring order and balance and harmony to the ecosystem there, you know, but it's like somehow none of that would come into my property. And thought to myself, okay, like, how can I bring this outside? You know, so I started, you know, getting little seedlings and bringing them to neighbors, and like plant a few butterfly attractors, some pea flowers. And so for a while, I was on a little mission just to get more flowers and native plants into people's urban experience, because it was like, no matter what was happening, I would come home and I felt like I was in this, I don't know, snow globe, let's call it. It was incredibly, incredibly healing. And I wasn't actually making anything from the plants, but just being in their field, the unseen, was deeply nourishing for me, for my daughter.
Yeah. And it's so easy, right? I mean, gardening can be It can be literally as easy as like filling a pot with dirt and then shoving some seeds in and giving it some water and then watching it over time.
Absolutely. And I read The Secret Life of Plants, you know, a book that was written in the 70s. And I remember when he was doing these experiments with music. And so I remembered that and I started playing music and different things for the garden. And like, it became this relationship and nothing was ever diseased. I never had to spray anything. It kind of took care of itself. And I really respected the plants. And when something was overgrowing, it's like I started asking permission, like, can I cut you? Because this one needs more light. And it's like sometimes it would naturally start growing in a different direction, perhaps to accommodate the other plant next to it. And that was like, I didn't even have to get involved anymore. So,
yeah, there's a, do you remember the work from Cleve Baxter, the CIA polygraph instructor? It's so interesting because I wish I knew him. I've met a lot of friends actually who used to be in the agency and they're like, oh, yeah, he was my teacher. And he taught everybody in the CIA how to use a lie detector machine. And I just wonder about his mind, you know, like what was he up to in his office that one day he was just like, I think I need to connect my machine to the plant, you know? And he did all kinds of experiments. Like he was like, what would happen if I lit a match and like lit the plant on fire? And then the machine registered a great amount of stress and he didn't even have the matches. He was just thinking about it. And then he was like, oh my God, these plants are sentient. They feel. And you know, that changed his whole course of experimentation. He figured out that they could also identify the murderer in a room because if anyone had, you know, they did a whole series of experiments to prove that like if somebody came in and like destroyed something or crushed up another plant or harmed somebody, you could have everybody walk through the room, multiple people. And when the perpetrator walked through, all the plants would register stress. And they even did like, how do you call it? Like bi-local, like no time or space kind of thing where like, let's say you have a houseplant and you're always watering it, you're taking care of it. And then you take a flight to Phoenix. Let's say you come here and we throw you a surprise birthday party and you come over and we're like, surprise. And then you have that momentary like stress from just like being shocked. Your houseplant back home at the same moment, if you had it hooked up to a machine, would show that same level of stress, positive stress, because it's in sync with you, even if you're far away. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. I mean, this happens with our children. Like this happens with our biological children too. But it's like you spend enough time, you know, I mean, my mom's like, sometimes I'd be going through a stressful time. She was in California. I was at college in Vermont. Something would be going, actually call me. She'd be like, I was thinking about you. Are you okay? And I'm like, oh, you know. And so it's, it makes so much sense that you start to exchange what we could just call maybe the unseen and you build that rapport and that connection, you know, with our pets, with our plants, with our children. It makes so much sense. I mean, I actually like, talk to my plants when I'm gone and my cat, you know, when I leave town, I'm like, hey guys, I visualize them. And I'm like, I'm coming back, you know? And when I don't do that, the cat gets a little, you know, she gets her little abandonment stuff kicks in. So yeah, it's very real. Those experiments are super cool. I mean, this guy in The Secret Life of Plants, what was his name? Peter Tompkins. He did that with bacteria and yogurt where he would, right? He would heat it up or he would play music or he would do things for it to proliferate. Certain conditions in the environment would make it proliferate, you know, make it happy, make it grow. Other ones would make kind of constrict it or kill it or shock it, right? You know, it's adding sugar to it would kill it. You know, it was like a combative energy. And so those experiments are super powerful to pay attention to. And what happens when we, you know, gosh, when we're in our own space, you know, at home and even just getting so if you don't have any ground to plant in, like, creating some spaces in the windows where you can have plants going that can withstand the air conditioning or whatever it is that you have going on, you know, and the relationship that you can build with them and how they can support you, how they can be your allies, right?
Yeah, it's such a joy too. It's like, it's such a good practice in like not having to do things a specific way, you know, to just like pick out the seeds of the flower you're most drawn to, or maybe you want to grow lettuce or, you know, carrots or edible flowers or something. You just like pick one thing, throw it in the dirt and see what happens. It's such a great practice of just see what happens, you know?
Yeah, just see what happens. What are some examples? I would just love to hear like a few case studies, because I know a lot of people are familiar with Bach flower remedies, for example. You know, it's kind of like the classic that I heard about growing up from my mom, and you know, I was a little bit in the homeopathy world. But what can someone who's about to start this or wants to try this, what can they expect to see? And is there ever like a wrong formula or a wrong flower? Like if it's, you know, or is there always a right one? Is every single flower right for that person? Because there's always a communication or a download that happened.
Yeah. So let's say you take a blend of flower essences. I'll pick one up here that has 9 different flowers in it. Maybe you need 7 of them, but the other 2, not so much. Your own body and its innate wisdom will just kind of discharge what it doesn't need. You know, it's like when you're walking on the carpet and then you touch someone and there's like a static shock. Similar, but it's just on, you know, you don't feel it. Your body will just discharge electrically what's not needed. So you never have to worry about, is it the wrong thing? There really isn't the wrong thing. Some people may feel there's a wrong thing if they have like a healing crisis, which is a really good thing. That doesn't happen very often. I would say like 1 out of 10 times. Usually if people are feeling really emotionally acute something, the flower essence will be soothing. If we're feeling really stable and strong, sometimes it can bring up a healing crisis. And that looks like maybe you have a little fit or a temper tantrum, or you cry in the corner for 2 hours and then you feel better. But that's still a positive response. When we look at flowers, like we'll often have these flower cards. You know, and we'll say like, choose the 3 you're most drawn to. But also if there's one on there that you just like can't stand, we've had people say like, oh, that one's so ugly, or I hate that one, or like that one's repulsive, you know? And if there's a really strong aversion, that's also a really good sign of something that wants to be unraveled, but it's something we don't want to look at when we have an aversion to it.
Aversion is information. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's like any response is a good response. And then in terms of case studies, everything from like, okay, we could talk about from the beginning of life to the end of life. Beginning of life, I worked with a woman who'd had 3 children already, and on her 4th child, she started using flower essences a ton during her pregnancy. And she swore to me, and I know every child is different, right? Every kid is different. But she was like, no, this 4th child is just like so peaceful, so happy. Like everybody notices the difference of how peaceful this baby is compared to the other 3 children I've had. And it makes sense, right? Because if you can remove stress from mom's life, then it's like less of the little being in the belly feels. I worked with a guy who had been in the special forces, and he'd been stabbed, he'd been shot, had bombs go off, he'd been trapped under burning cars. There are flower essences that help uproot experiences that would create a sort of PTSD or any kind of trauma that any of us have. I mean, I share that example because it's really extreme, right? Those types of fears are so kind of primal, fear of death and of being physically harmed.
Yeah, existential fear. Many people hold that as existential fear, even sometimes without, quote, reason. You know, it's really deep.
And even in the case of someone having that like really severe physical trauma, flower essences in their like really soft and gentle way, you know, when he's ready, they could pull all of that tension out of the fascia so that those experiences become simply like memories that don't have a charge anymore, that don't, you know, he wasn't a very expressive guy, but I asked him like a couple months later, hey, you know, when we did that thing and you re-experienced all of those experiences and we used flower essences, because he was kind of curled up in the little fetal position, felt like he was re-experiencing everything. And I said, does your everyday daily life feel different to you? And he said, oh yeah, 100%. So like he didn't articulate, but he felt the difference of what happens when we can pull that trauma out of our fascia and out of our energy body, right? We've used flower essences with people in transition and death, like in their 90s, they're ready to fly, right? They're ready to leave their body, and they're in the untying process of untying their consciousness from their physical body. And that's such another powerful time to use flower essences, because it's also a time when the unseen world, you could say like maybe mischievous beings or spirits that are kind of trapped in the liminal spaces and don't have a body will try to cause trouble or try to, you know, hop in or try to influence someone. So it's like a great way to keep somebody clear and focused. Like, you know, the moment of death, this is like a big moment. You know, it's a huge moment for us. It's a huge opportunity in the way that we transfer our consciousness out of our body. and to offer somebody strength and stability and peacefulness and joy and love, you know, and to really like boost all of that. Plus the caregivers, you know, the caregivers, the exhaustion, the grief. I've seen incredible things, like even just like the word grief. Like think about the last few years in 2020 and 2021, and people experienced tremendous, not only loss, but, you know, from death or sickness, but separation or feeling ostracized or feeling like families were split apart, not knowing where they belonged in the world. And we're carrying this kind of low level grief that couldn't really be expressed because no one could talk about it. It wasn't really, you know, oh my gosh. Like people would come into our store or we would be out at an event and we'd use something like Sacred Heart and just like missed them. And they would just burst into tears. It's like how many years they've been carrying this low level grief, right? And it just needed to be released in that moment. Heartbreak, divorce. I'm thinking of all the like really rough times in life where it kind of brings us to our knees and we need extra support, right? Or you could think of it in terms of like infusing your purpose work, helping you find a tribe of people that will help you accomplish your legacy and your vision, being able to have a more capacity to tell the truth, to visualize an incredible reality into being, to nourish yourself, to commit and see the fruits of your commitment, to have more energetic timing, to quiet down the inner bossy girl, to like if we're playing mental tug of war, to put down the rope and just become our own best friends. I mean, I could go on and on and on forever. Like I think part of it is just like if we're all wound up in something, we just want to like feel a little bit better. We just need a little more space. And then the other part that's interesting is like when we do feel more stable, it's like, help me see what's in the blind spots. Help me see what I'm doing that's tripping me up that I don't have awareness of so that I can improve something.
Yeah, that awareness. What you were saying about the PTSD, for example, is so powerful because it does live in the fascia and we can PTSD from so many things, from anything from war to birth to sudden loss of a loved one. I mean, there's car accidents or so many circumstances and that gets stored in the body, which is why when there's something that activates it, we feel like we're reliving it again, even if we're, you know, in our home and it's safe and right, we can perceive safety, but the body is holding that memory. And so I've noticed that myself actually with the flower essences is that the event itself seems separate from me now because I don't feel that it's dictating the experience anymore. And I can actually perceive it, observe it, let's say from a more removed perspective, while still honoring that it exists, but it's not driving the experience anymore. And I think that's the main difference. And a few months ago, we talked about these bundles, you know, for women with, you know, who experienced miscarriage, for example, and I've already gotten great feedback from a lot of women who have been able to move that grief, right? Wherever it's coming from, whether it's old grief that the miscarriage activates or it's grief from that experience or whatever it might be, that they're able to observe the grief. And that's a great place to be where you can observe it rather than being driven by it. It's not to make it go away or to eradicate it, but it's to be able to commune with it so that it somehow becomes information. An opportunity.
I don't know if you've ever heard me tell this story. I have this friend who is a massage therapist and she went to a course for massage therapists where they would open up a cadaver.
You've never told me.
Because she was like, she's been doing it for like 20 some years. And she's like, I want to know what things look like under there. Like, what am I actually working on underneath the skin? And one of her biggest aha moments was she was working on this 90-some-year-old gentleman who died of natural causes. And she, all the fascia and muscles and everything in his body were like silk. And she realized that like, oh, right, of course, when the consciousness leaves the body, the consciousness is what has all of the patterns and experiences and trauma and sense of reality and projections and everything in it. So when that leaves and you're left with just this physical flesh, everything is smooth. There's no knots in the muscles. There's no like, you know, shoulder knot or like tension in the back or like everything just dissolves. And so, you know, I've been telling people like, that's actually what we're working with is they've measured it 21 grams when your consciousness, the weight of your consciousness, that's what we're working with flower essences. We really only care about your 21 grams. That's where everything is, you know?
Wow. So that 21 grams is what the flower essences go to, right? Whether in whatever form we decide to work with them, whether it's, you know, sublingually or through oil, you know, through the skin, transdermally, or whatever it is, through breathing, because there's so many ways that we can experience them. It goes to that really kind of delicate sacred space of that 21 grams. I never knew that. I mean, I've explored the concept, but to say when the consciousness leaves the body, that's when the fascia actually starts to, you know, untie. So the consciousness of it. So there's a consciousness holding it in the fascia, right? But there's also the inspired action we can take, the decision we can make to now observe it, work with it collaboratively, so that those experiences that the consciousness is holding are not actually dictating the way we're living our life. So we can actually smooth out that fascia while still knowing that these experiences existed.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, earlier this year or last year, I started to realize, like, in my everyday life, how much fear dictates my everyday experience, but like super subtle levels of fear, you know, like very micro, like, oh, maybe there's like a subtle, I'm afraid I will be left out of an experience here. So then there's like a holding, or I make a different decision, or I'm afraid of being left behind, so I will make this decision. And then it's kind of like, when you really start looking, it's like you can catch yourself in a moment of like constantly posturing and making decisions to avoid something you're afraid of, even if it's a total illusion, even if it's like a monster under the bed. Like, oops, monster under the bed, go around it, take a different route, right? And it could be happening in like little micro movements in the way we speak in conversation and the actions we take, even just in the way we think and what mental activity takes place. We started putting together blends to uproot those really super subtle levels of fear, because my goal would be to make everybody as fearless and courageous and powerful and, like, you know, beautiful and taking up space and not being dictated by fears that we aren't even sometimes even aware of, right?
Right. So there's these subtle levels of fear dictating, you know, our everyday lives. And so if someone were to start working with a flower essence, would you say it's possible for them to recall the root or the origin of that fear? Like, it'll just kind of appear. And it happened to me, actually. I have so many, and now I'm realizing I have so many instances of this. But yeah, it was like I remembered something that I didn't even think was related to why I was feeling those subtle fears. And I said, okay, here it is, you know. And it was just the awareness that then started the unbraiding. So would you say that happens often?
All the time. Yeah. It's like just being able, it's like seeing the blind spot, like, oh, there's a thing. And then just seeing it, it already starts, like you said, the unbraiding, the unfurling, and seeking really closer to what's actually truth and closer to what's true nature.
Yeah. And it's funny because people, a lot of the doulas that I train, the clients that I work with in fertility or pregnancy, postpartum, a lot of them actually start working with Lotus Way. And then many of them will say, well, what do I do now? What are the modalities that I engage so that I can process this? And I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes you don't need to. Like, sometimes if you feel inspired to take a step of, like, I don't know, trying family constellations or breath work or something that feels, or writing or moving, you know, dance classes, right, to move energy. If you feel inspired to do that, that could be the modality, but I wouldn't say it's necessary in order for that healing or the uprooting to take place. Sometimes it's, like you said, it's just the awareness that this is tied, right? And this is what I said in the beginning of our conversation. Something I appreciated so much about you was that you saw the whole picture, that all of these events, it's like we're in a web, right, with our experiences. It's like we're in a network of all of our experiences. Time is not linear. And so just the awareness of something that occurred, you know, 20 years ago and saying, oh, I see you. Okay, that's enough. Sometimes that's just enough, is like, you know, opening the closet door and being like, there's no monster in here, or there is. And like, hi, I see you, want to come out and have some tea, right? It's like, you know, now there's a level of intimacy, and the apprehension or the suspenseful nature of that is dissipated.
Which is often, it's the fear of, or like the bracing against, or the resisting, or the avoiding. That's more powerful than what's actually there. Like, you actually look in the closet and it's like, oh, that's not what I thought, you know, or yeah.
Yeah, that apprehension holds so much energy, so much charge.
Not to mention that we can also use it to shift and shape the way the rest of our life goes. Like if we are a product energetically of those 21 grams of this life and every experience we've had and every choice we've made, and if you believe in reincarnation, all the past lives as well, as we, like you say, observe things that arise and liberate stuck places and resistance, we can not only like realize more of our true nature, but that also is going to naturally shift our destiny in a sense. Not destiny like endpoint. You know, it's like, if we're like just a little bit softer today, people are going to respond to us differently.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many timeline opportunities, right? So it's not about like changing the entire course or the endpoint, like you said, but creating a new timeline, a new possibility. You know, you might still meet that person or you might still move to that place, but the timeline and path in which you get there might be radically different, more expanded, more connected, more embodied, more pleasurable, right? And we're all trying to move towards pleasure. Well, once we work through the shame of allowing ourselves to feel pleasure, we're all trying to work toward the pleasure. So yeah, a lot becomes possible. I just want to thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing, bringing this knowledge that's within all of us already, this relationship we have with our surroundings. It's already there, just bringing awareness back to it. It's like we have to unlearn the disconnection and then just relearn and remember the connection. We've been using the plant world since the beginning to support us, right? To be the ally in our healing. We don't have to look very far. The answers are there, right? Just by using these allies, you know, working with these allies, the answers that are in us become revealed. You know, they reveal themselves. And so it's really beautiful art form and so powerful. So thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's such a pleasure. Yeah. And just to say that if anyone out there is listening and curious, there are so many of us here who are happy to like jump on the phone or Zoom or email or DM us if you're looking for like something specific or, you know, what do I do about this situation or what flower is good for this? We love connecting people with what they need. And that's just like the truth is that there is another possibility. There is another way. The things we're afraid of aren't necessarily, you know, it's like the monster under the bed. It's not as bad as we think. And we can shift so easily. I mean, something as simple as a flower to make us laugh more and enjoy more during our day and feel more clear and then spread to the people that we love around us. So don't hesitate to reach out. We also have a wellness center here in Phoenix. It's called the Self-Rising Nature Center. And we have services and classes and workshops and all kinds of things. So if anybody's interested in coming to Phoenix and visiting, we have a whole calendar up of stuff that could be interesting.
Yeah, I cannot wait to go. Been planning on it for like a year now, but it's going to happen in this coming year. I'm going to share all of your information in the show notes and everyone's going to be able to get in touch with this beautiful team at Lotus Way, which is now opened in India, which is huge. So the network is expanding. Lotus Way has changed my life and the lives of so many women that I work with, that I know, and men as well, including my father. So, you know, it's just, yeah, it's really powerful. And I really believe that, like what your teacher said, just a small percentage of people were working with this that could create immense change in the collective. And I always say that the work begins with us. And then that's what ripples out to everybody else. So we have to start at home first. Thank you, Katie. I love you and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Isla.